You hear that? Your dog knows spring is coming sooner than you think. Dog walks, dog parks, playing fetch, all the stuff your dog loves to do with you. But the warmer weather also means that fleas and ticks are coming back. Fleas and ticks are in the grass, in the woods, and even on their dog friends. Fleas are an itchy nuisance, can easily get into your home, furniture, and beds, which can be terrible. Ticks are even worse. They're hard to spot, but can carry disease and get your dog really sick. PetMeds has your furry friend protected with the best products to prevent flea and ticks all year long. PetMeds pharmacists connect directly with your vet to save you time and deliver the best products for your pet. PetMeds offers low prices on all flea and tick meds, including NexGard, Simparica, and more. And PetMeds AutoShip helps you save even more with additional discounts on regular shipments of PetMeds, dog food, and other high-quality supplies. So get ready for all the spring fun now. Visit PetMeds.com and use promo code PODCAST to save 40% on your first auto ship order. That's PetMeds.com and promo code PODCAST.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Grinding the mocks. That's what we're all doing this time of year, including Benjamin Robinson of Grinding the Mocks. He'll join us momentarily here on BetQL Daily, presented by BetMGM, alongside Joe Ostrowski. We got Aaron up and running as well. Technology is what it is. It's wonderful. It brings us together, friends, until it doesn't work. And then we get it fixed and make the best of it. And we thank you for joining us wherever you may be, including inside that Audacy app, AUDACY. It's free. Download it today. Wherever you're going, whatever you're up to, you take us with you here on the BetQL Network. And if you miss anything, you download it later as a podcast. Just search BetQL Daily wherever you get your podcasts. 1 hour from now, we'll take some different angles as we look at these mock drafts, especially some of the big ones that just came out in the last couple of days. Seamus McGee with some BetMGM insights at the top of the hour, particularly on draft markets as well as the NBA playoffs, everything going on in the next week or so. And in 20 minutes, we go off the board with a discussion of someone who will never be playing in the NBA again. And how extensive do we think this is? Is it limited to this one guy, or is it something that needs to be, well, needs to have a brighter light cast on it, as we find this one person was betting on the same games he was playing in? Benjamin Robinson, though, from Grinding the Mocks, find it on X at Grinding Mocks. Find him there as well at Benj_Robinson. Morning, Benjamin. Thanks for taking some time. And I want to start you with this because we've talked a lot about the positioning at the top of the draft, right? Williams 1, Daniels 2. And then probably May 3, that's where the questions start. How committed to a quarterback at that selection is New England? And then not only where does McCarthy fall, but what happens to the fourth pick in Arizona as well? So to use a cliched question, where does this year's draft actually start, Benjamin?
I think it starts at pick 5. With the LA Chargers. I've seen a lot. I think 3 quarterbacks, I think almost will certainly go in the top 3. I'm a believer that New England is going to target some type of quarterback, or some team will trade up into that spot to target a quarterback. I think people are kind of over-indexing on the Cardinals at 4 because of the kind of trade wizardry we saw last year from general manager Monty Austinfort. But I don't think we know enough to think that he'll do that again, or that's something he's going to do every year. But, I can foresee them sticking with a player like Marvin Harrison Jr. at 4, which is what my data shows. And then there's this pick 5, LA Chargers. The Chargers are kind of at a fork in the road. They brought in, Jim Harbaugh from Michigan, but they also cleaned up the GM's office. They brought in Joe Hortiz from Baltimore. And one thing that Baltimore succeeded in under this, Eric DaCosta regime, but also the Ozzie Newsome regime beforehand, is stockpiling draft capital and taking many shots at many players at valuable positions. And right now, that's something the Chargers lack. So I think the Chargers have, as much as any team, some self-interest in the top 5, where they have the franchise quarterback in Justin Herbert. They just really lack the roster pieces to build around him and could use more picks. So to me, I think that's probably where I see the draft starting, with some team potentially trading up maybe to get J.J. McCarthy there at pick 5.
What about recent risers and fallers? You mentioned three quarterbacks at the start. I've certainly noticed over the last few days a lot of love for McCarthy, possibly at four. Any other names, maybe even further down the board?
Yeah, so the players that I see in my data that are rising the fastest right now, one is Western Michigan edge rusher Marshawn Kneeland. He's getting a lot of love right now from all kinds of different analysts. I know that, you know, he had a really nice season playing at Western Michigan this year, and had a really nice Senior Bowl as well, and just has been a player that other prospect analysts, and now I think it's kind of going from the, you know, draft experts into sort of the draft media space. You're seeing some of the mainstream reporters mentioning Marshawn Kneeland as a guy to watch. So he's the biggest riser in my data right now. You know, you also see JJ McCarthy rising quite a bit since the beginning of this draft process. And I think people are solidifying him as a top 10 pick. He might go top five depending on what happens, but you know, oftentimes you know, we try to over index on these trades, try to over predict them in the data. We don't necessarily know when, where they're going to happen. I think it wouldn't surprise me if any of these deals happened before the draft, because I feel like if they would have happened, they would have already happened by now. But yeah, to me, Marshawn Kneeland is a guy to watch a lot. The other ones are, you know, Penix, Michael Penix from Washington and Bo Nix from Oregon. I solidly believe that at the end of the draft process, they will be first round expected draft position in my data, but I fully expect them to go in round two. I don't foresee them being first round quarterbacks.
Dang, that was my question. What happens with Penix and Bo Nix? What about the receivers then? How do you see that playing out? Because we've heard about Malik Nabers. We already know about Marvin Harrison Jr. Could there be a shakeup, or you think Marvin Harrison Jr. goes first?
I think Marvin Harrison Jr. goes first. The reason behind that is that he's not just the top-ranked receiver, but by a lot of people, he's the top-ranked player in this draft. Definitely the top-ranked non-quarterback by my numbers and also by most consensus big boards. So to me, I think there's a lot of talk about Nabers, but you know, Harrison's kind of as bulletproof of a prospect, especially at a premium position. The last time that we had this type of strong quarterback class and then a player who would be considered the top prospect that wasn't a quarterback, you know, was Saquon Barkley. And we kind of know how that turned out, but Harrison's a different beast. He plays wide receiver, much more valuable premium position. And so to me, Harrison, Malik Nabers from LSU, and then I solidly think, you know, Roma Dunze will fall after that. And then afterwards, it's kind of, I think, anyone's game. You know, I could see Adonai Mitchell and then from Texas, Brian Thomas Jr. from LSU and Xavier Worthy kind of being any of the next three wide receivers that go.
So I'm glad you brought up Adonai Mitchell, Benjamin Robinson of Grinding the Mocks with us here on BetQL Daily, because I'm curious how you guys, other than just taking the numbers of all of these mocks, I mean, we're looking at like 1,500 mock drafts that you're crunching numbers on and ADPs and all that. How do you then score, if you do at all, the anecdotal stuff that you see in scouting reports? Like I think I saw you tweet it or retweet it last night or the day before, the anecdotal stuff about Adonai Mitchell and how he handles his type 1 diabetes, for example. And there's scouts and executives out there who say, oh, you know, he's a different person when he doesn't keep an eye on his blood sugar levels, things like that. It sounds granular and really silly to think about, but it's the difference between Adonai Mitchell maybe going 27, 28 and maybe going in the teens.
Yeah, I think, you know, the thing that we discount about this information that comes out is that teams already know it. So a lot of analysts that I respect a lot are well-sourced and have, you know, sources in teams. And so to me, a lot of this stuff is kind of marginal. Like, I don't think it's going to stop a team from drafting Adonai Mitchell. If it's a tiebreaker between somebody else, then, you know, to me, you know, I don't know. But this type of, like, some of it could be hearsay. It could be, like, someone talking to someone, or, like, he had one bad day or something like that. I think it's a little unfair to kind of just indict him or whatever in the public, because he had some bad days on his blood sugar. And I think to me, it's kind of an excuse to me almost. You know, these are high performance athletes. They get coached in a lot of ways on the field. If you're a team and you want to have Adonai Mitchell succeed, it's in your best interest to put him in the best position to succeed. So get him a health coach, get him a continuous glucose monitor and help him monitor his blood sugar like a that someone would monitor any other type of condition. So to me, I don't think that should be something that stops teams from drafting Adonai Mitchell. It could be a tiebreaker, but then, you know, I have deeper questions. But I think a lot of this information is already known by teams. We're just kind of hearing it now at this process because Bob McGinn is dropping his bombs when it comes to like football gossip. That's pretty much the premier football gossip column these days.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Aside from the very top, which we talked about, basically the top five, if we were to match team's first selection in a position, is there anything that stands out when you look over these, as Chris mentioned, thousands of mocks that you're taking in, where it looks pretty obvious that everybody believes, okay, this team, we don't quite know the player because you never know how a draft falls, but the consensus is this is the position they're going with first.
Yeah, I think it's, to me, the deepest ones, probably I think of two, Tennessee Titans offensive tackle. You see Joe Alt from Notre Dame, who's the top tackle in the class, paired with them a lot. And then you also see edge rusher to the Atlanta Falcons. And so to me, I think those are two position groups that, and I think you can put the LA Chargers in that group as well, where people are like, oh, there could be a wide receiver, but you know, oh man, offensive line feels really strong there. But yeah, to me, it's the Titans with Joe Alt. And afterwards, you know, you see Dallas Turner, the edge rusher from Alabama, paired almost to like a, you know, it's like almost like a self-parody at this point. Like it's really hard to find a mock draft that doesn't put Dallas Turner to the Falcons at eight. And so to me, I feel like it might not happen just because I think we're kind of over-indexing on it as like, oh, they're going to go edge and he's the best edge. But, you know, it could be somebody else that we're not thinking about. It could be like Jared Verse from Florida State. It could be, you know, defensive tackle Byron Murphy from Texas, who I think is really underrated in data right now.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Is your child struggling with a specific subject or need help with homework? Are they asking questions that you're not sure you can fully answer? IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL is designed. This program will improve your kids' grades. Studies done in almost every state in the country, the kids who had IXL are consistently doing better. Powered by advanced algorithms, IXL gives the right help to each kid no matter the age or personality. And it doesn't have to eat up all your time. One subscription gets you everything for all the kids in your home, pre-K to 12th grade. So don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/audio. Visit IXL.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
You were saying that the draft starts at number 5, and Marvin Harrison is the favorite, followed by Neighbors, Joel McCarthy, then May, then Adunze. Is there any value there? Like, would you, you know, take a chance that someone who's maybe not the favorite, like Marvin Harrison, goes at that number 5 pick?
Yeah, I think you're really, I think in that case, over-indexing on these, like, Arizona Cardinals trading all the time room kind of, like, scenarios. I think there's a really good chance that Harrison just goes at 4. I think, you know, the Cardinals have a need at wide receiver. I think that, you know, they have a pretty, I don't view them as someone who's going to take a strong heterodox view that like Odunze is better and take him at four, or that Neighbors is really a candidate there. I think a lot of people are just talking about Neighbors being potentially the top receiver. But I think it's just like Harrison's the top overall prospect, probably, maybe on average. He's a lot closer to Caleb Williams as a prospect than he is to like Rome Odunze. So to me, it's like 1-2 Williams and Harrison as prospects overall in this draft. And I think that's something that would, if you can get the number one or number two prospect to pick four, I think most teams who don't have a need at quarterback like the Cardinals do with Kyler Murray as the franchise quarterback are pretty, I think, pretty strong to take. So to me, you know, the Chargers with Harrison at fifth, I think that's not something that I think I would consider as much. But also the fifth overall pick could change hands. So to me, like, I think McCarthy is probably the one that I would look at there more than anything else.
Benjamin Robinson of Grinding the Mocks, at Grinding Mocks on Twitter, at Benj_Robinson is his handle as well. Let me talk about some positional totals, right? Because the number I keep seeing in all of the mocks, almost universally, 10 offensive linemen in the first round, 5 corners in the first round. Do those numbers seem spot on to you? Is there any opportunity on either side of those numbers?
To me, offensive line, I could see that. I think 10 is the right number, but it could go a little higher, mostly because I think people are over-indexing on quarterback right now. My current expected draft position for the first round, I have 6 quarterbacks, and I believe strongly that there should be really only 4. Offensive line, I think 10 is the right number. The number that I think could go higher than what I have right now is wide receiver, and I think defensive back will probably go under. Right now, one of the players that I think that is a first rounder in my data that I think has a decent chance of going in round 2 is Kool-Aid McKinstry from Alabama, who's been a faller this entire cycle. His teammate Terrion Arnold from Alabama is much more likely to go in the top half of the first round, or maybe even the top 10, than McKinstry, who I think potentially could be a second round pick. I've even heard some rumors about, you know, Nate Wiggins from Clemson potentially dropping into round 2, but I think he has a strong round 1 probability. To me, McKinstry feels like a guy who could fall out. And so to me, I think wide receiver is where we pick up the slack with a guy like Xavier Worthy, who's second round in my numbers. But, you know, thanks to some historical research from my friend Kevin Cole, who runs the Unexpected Points Substack, we know that draft position is, the 40-yard dash time is much more predictive of draft position than it is of NFL production. And so I think to me, Xavier Worthy is someone with that 40-yard dash that I think has a much stronger likelihood to go in round 1 than my numbers right now, which kind of unfairly put him as like a solid, you know, Kansas City Chiefs option at the end of the first round when he could go a lot higher.
I'm glad you brought those positions up, because that's exactly where I was going to go next. Like, at receiver, we know about the top 3 guys, probably all going in the top 10, but it's viewed as a deeper class. So does that next tier of receiver go late 1, early 2? The number set for receivers in the first round is 6.5, juiced pretty heavily to the under. And then on cornerbacks, let's see, we're at 5.5. That is heavily juiced to under 5.5 for cornerback. Would you go over on 6.5 receivers?
Yeah, I think I probably would. Yeah, to me, yeah. I had said, Harrison, Neighbors, Odunze, Brian Thomas Jr., Adonai Mitchell, Xavier Worthy, and then any of the other ones, like a Ladd McConkey from Georgia could go there. That's 7. But I think you're more likely if you lose on some quarterbacks, you know, you add some offensive linemen, you add like maybe a Jordan Morgan from Arizona, you add like a Kingsley Suamataia, you maybe get like a Zach Frazier potentially from West Virginia. And so to me, 6, like, yeah, 7, I could see it because I think McConkey is potentially being underrated as well. But yeah, to me, 7 is, they make these decisions so hard. For me, if it was 5, I'd be like, yeah, I'd go 6. But obviously, you know, to me, I like 7 just because I think quarterback is overrated, and I think the defensive backs numbers are a little over right now. And so it has to go somewhere. I don't think it's going to happen with linebacker, but it could. But I think that for the most part, yeah, offensive line and wide receiver are viewed as strengths in this class. And so that's something where I would think that's where I would lean if I had to pick those, just from the positional strengths.
Great insight. We appreciate it, Benjamin. Benjamin Robinson of Grinding the Mocks, at Grinding Mocks on Twitter. And some interesting stuff about wide receivers, how many to expect in the first round, as well as quarterbacks and how those are being mocked that maybe we can circle back on later. Thanks again, Benjamin. We appreciate the time. Coming up next, Jonte Porter, the tip of the iceberg or an isolated case? We go off the board here on BetQL Daily.